We read the Holy Scriptures tonight in 1 Peter chapter 5. The word of God that we'll consider together will be verse 7 of the chapter, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Reading now together 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is the word of God. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Again, our text is verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible uses many rich figures of speech to describe for us the blessings of prayer, to teach us the richness of prayer, and to call us and urge us to be men and women of prayer. I say the Bible uses many word pictures to do that about prayer. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we pray, we are actually coming before the throne of all the earth and of heaven, the throne that has been established from everlasting. And when we come before that throne, in the context of Hebrews chapter 4, we come through our high priest who is touched with all the feelings of our infirmities, who has perfect compassion for us, and we may enter before that throne at any time, and we may enter through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only receive an answer, but receive grace to help us in time of need. We may come boldly to the throne of the only God, our Father. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are there things that are pursuing us, things that make us afraid? There's a secret place. We come in prayer under the shadow of the Almighty. We come to a place that is safe, where nothing can touch us. Foul sinners that we are, we can flee to that fountain that is to be found at the throne of grace in Jesus Christ, and we can be received there, and he will not cast us away. We may go to God in prayer, as we're taught in the parable of the prodigal son, when the son, by the grace of God, came to himself. We come to ourselves and we see the folly of our sin, the deception of our own hearts. And we say, I will arise and I will go to my Father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy servants. And while we are yet a long way off, our Father has compassion upon us and runs to us and kisses us and puts upon us the robe, gives us the assurance of that robe through faith of perfect righteousness. There are many, many pictures in the Bible, countless almost, describing to us the richness, the priceless gift of prayer, and encouraging us to pray. And here is another one. In prayer, cast all your care, all your anxiety, all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That care that so heavily rays upon our souls, that which overwhelms us, that which occupies first place in our thought and clouds out all the blessings of God from us, that over which we say, I can't bear this, I can't continue in this way, that which wakes you up and keeps you up in the middle of the night and consumes your waking thoughts so that when other people are talking to you, you're not paying attention. You're consumed by that burden and care. God says, take that and cast it into the arms of the Almighty God. And while you are there, look in prayer into the heart of God. He cares for you. Take your care, all of it, and cast it to him. And hear his words. He is the sovereign God who of grace loves you and cares for you. The Holy Spirit, through Peter, is writing 1 Peter, this epistle, to us Christians as we are now, by God's grace, pilgrim strangers on this earth. You will recall with me the first verse of the first chapter, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout the world of that day, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We are strangers because we have a citizenship, not of this earth, but of heaven. He says again in the second chapter, at verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lusts of this world, which war against your soul. We are spiritual pilgrims because, chapter 1, verse 3, we have been begotten again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are born again with a different life than this world, even a heavenly one, a life that has a perfect hope. And therefore, out of that new birth, we reach for that perfect hope. We live our life toward that hope. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to us on the basis of the work of God of changing our citizenship from this world to that world earned for us by the grace of Christ. We are strangers on this earth, and therefore the Apostle Peter concludes his epistle in this fifth chapter with three words of admonition, of counsel to us as pilgrims and strangers. Three words that are appropriate for someone who's traveling, who is a pilgrim. The first word is, you need to dress right. When you go hiking, when you're traveling, you need the right clothes. You don't put on your Sunday best to take a hike through the wilderness. And so Peter says, spiritually, first thing you need to know is to be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. The apostle says the dress for a pilgrim is humility. A pilgrim stranger must be humbled before his God. Or negatively, if we dress ourselves in pride, there will be lots of conflict on our pilgrim's journey. We will be stumbling and falling. Number two, our text. Not only put on the right clothing, but don't carry too much. Don't be packing your backpack with all kinds of things that you are trying to carry in your own strength. Too many cares, too much you're trying to carry, you'll have no strength for your journey. And then number three, he says, as pilgrim strangers, dressed right, not carrying too much. Then number three, you need to be aware of your enemy. You need to be aware of the devil who seeks you as a roaring lion to destroy you. You need to be on the watch. If you are traveling through a strange country and you are a foreigner, you must beware of him. Now it's that second word to pilgrim strangers that we'll consider for a while this afternoon, that load of anxiety. That load that simply jumps on our souls and we can't shake it off. We are to take that and cast it on God in prayer. Casting all our care on God. And our three points will be simply, what does that mean? How is that done? And why must we do that? God says, cast all your care upon God. What does that mean? The word care is the word anxiety, sometimes translated worry. The Greek word means to be pulled apart, to be pulled in different directions, one way and then the other. It refers in the Greek language to that which has preoccupied our thoughts. It's more than just preoccupied, it is consuming and eating up our mental thoughts and our hearts. It's eating us up. It's taken over our minds and our souls. Cares. Anxiety, pressing in upon our chest, sometimes even physically, making it difficult for us to breathe. And these anxieties are undefeatable of ourselves. We can't shed this fear. Others say to us, don't worry, but it presses down upon our hearts. It's with us. The Greek word refers to that over which we would brood as a bird would brood over its nest, can't leave that nest. We brood over these things. It disturbs our sleep. We can't get it off our shoulder. It's anxiety. It's worry. It's being overwhelmed. The word is used in our text in the singular, care. Cast all your care. And it's used in the singular not because we have only one care, One care has a multitude of tentacles. There's many cares that we have, which we'll see in a moment. But it's used in the singular because there's something true about every care that we have. And that is, it has to do with the future. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? Am I going to be able to handle that? We place ourselves out of the moment and into the future. We forget the Lord's word, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He has promised grace for today. God has nowhere promised you grace for tomorrow. Tomorrow, we receive the grace for that day. We receive the grace for today. When we worry of tomorrow, the only thing that our worry and of our sorrows for tomorrow, the only thing that that worry does is empty us of strength for today, and it does not take away the burdens of tomorrow. This word, care, is translated in the Old Testament, burden. And the Apostle Peter, by the Holy Spirit, is most likely thinking of Psalm 55, verse 22, a familiar verse, cast thy burden upon the Lord. It's in the same frame as our, worded the same way as our text, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And it could well be that the Apostle Peter, who would have known that Old Testament psalm, that the Apostle Peter had placed it in his heart, especially after his denial of the Lord three times, when he carried that heavy and what he considered to be unforgivable burden. Perhaps it was that psalm that comforted him. Psalm 55. 22. That psalm was written by David. David, when he is being pursued by his own son, Absalom, who wants to kill him. David, when he is being chastened by God for his sin. David, when one of his most trusted friends, Ahithophel, who was a trusted counselor during his realm. And David says in that psalm, we sat in church together, side by side, in the same pew. And he betrayed me. It was a day in which David's whole life seemed to be shattered. His whole life seemed to have now been shattered, ruined beyond any resurrection. He saw the consequences of his sin. He was filled with a burden. And God tells him, you must cast it on me. And so it can be in our life. There are the trials of this life, the sufferings that God apportions to us, of the body and of the soul. These sufferings that Peter refers to, these cares, refer here especially to persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ, for he writes to the saints who are scattered abroad because of persecution, and the care that he is addressing here is especially one very prevalent among the Christians then, the care of being hated, being persecuted, being put to death for the sake of Christ, seeing that happen to one's family. It can refer also to our sicknesses, to cancer, to old age. It can refer to when God gives to us special needs children who are not able fully to care for themselves. And as a parent, that comes upon our heart as a daily care. It can be the cares of widowhood, old age, loneliness. It can be the cares of our responsibilities, legitimate responsibilities. Sometimes we take more to ourselves than we ought to, but legitimate responsibilities. And we find ourselves saying, all that I have to do, I don't know how I can get that done tomorrow. And we become very short, interruptive toward other people, and all the demands upon my time, and now the pressures that are coming in my job, and I have to be able to perform, I have to support my family. How am I going to get this done? Or in school, as a child or as a young person, the schoolwork and the demands that I feel on me as a child in school. Or I become, as a child or a young person, I'm consumed by what other people are thinking about me, what they think about me. Or it can be the burdens that we have for members in our family, for a husband, for a wife, for sons and daughters who are not walking in the light of Jesus Christ, in the way of life. They do not feel, they seem not to be able to feel the need for blessedness of belonging to Jesus Christ and belonging to the people of God, cares and burdens. And to such an extent that we can't think, really, of anything else. These are dangerous. These are real. They're dangerous because while we must be conscientious, these cares soon silence the word of God to our ears, and they stop us dead in our tracks. We all have these anxieties and these cares and these burdens. The Bible is aware of that. Jesus uses this word in Matthew 13, verse 22, in a familiar passage of the parable of the sower. And he speaks of that seed that is sown among the thorns. And he says, so is he that has the seed among the thorns. He heareth the word of God. We hear the word of God. And the cares of this world choke the word of God. We are comforted by the word of God, and soon after that, those same fears leap back upon us. They shout down the word of God that we've heard. It's used in Luke 10, verse 41, when Jesus in the house of Lazarus and Mary is sitting at his feet listening to his word, and Martha, who loved him too. But Martha is very much consumed with the demands of etiquette, and she's much cumbered about in her heart, and she wants to serve everybody, and she's filled with consuming cares. And Jesus shakes his head and says, Martha, Martha, you are careful about many things, but there's only one thing that's needful, that you hear my word. And as I said, these cares can be legitimate cares. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, the Apostle Paul, after giving the litany of all of his sufferings for Jesus' sake, says, now I want to add one more thing that you need to know about me. I have not only suffered for Christ's sake, perhaps more than anyone else in that day, but you need to also know that with my calling as an apostle, comes daily the care of all the churches. He felt the responsibility for all the churches, the responsibility an elder and a deacon and a pastor feels can be overwhelming. It seems more and more that the cares are insolvable, great, and they threaten to stop us. The cares of a parent, a young parent, realizing the responsibility for this child, and we can be left without peace. What are we to do? God says, take that care and cast it on him. The Holy Spirit in the word cast uses a present imperative. A present imperative in the Greek language refers to an ongoing action. So it may be translated, keep on casting it before the presence of God. Cast, keep on casting your anxiety upon God. God is saying, you can't carry them in your own strength. You're on a journey, and on that path, you must constantly, in prayer, being given them over to God. That does not mean that we become irresponsible. To cast our care upon God does not mean that we neuter, we cut the nerve of our emotions, that we as Christians become cold and unfeeling, that we become careless. No, of course not. Nor does it mean that we try to medicate our anxieties with the misuse of drugs and alcohol, with the use of cannabis, with the use of alcohol for the purpose so that I can get through this and perhaps escape for a little while. These are the traps of sin that will make us suffer only more and more. We cannot, it's an attempt to escape, we cannot escape our anxiety. But we are to bring them to the mighty hands of God. Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. All that's in your heart. Verbalize it. Bring it to God in reverence. Cast it. Pray to him. Cast it. This is the only time in the Bible that I know that I am told that I may throw something. I may throw this, not my temper, not things, but I may throw my care on God. The word cast is used in Luke 19, verse 35, where the disciples, as Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem on the back, the colt of an ass, they cast their garments upon the colt. That's not the same as they piled their clothes on the back of that animal, but to cast means you spread it out. You smooth it out. Cast your cares upon God. Verbalize them. Spread them out. Spend time. Tell God exactly the needs of your heart and all that is happening there. Keep on is the idea. Keep on spreading them before God in prayer. Spread them before the throne of grace. And do that because our default spiritual setting is to carry them ourselves. We set them upon God in prayer, but soon we bring them back to ourselves. And sometimes we can't pray. And that's when the Bible tells us that we must call the elders of the church to pray for us so urgent it is that we cast them upon God. And then even after a season of prayer and a time of relief, we find ourselves carrying them again. It seems our cares are glued to us. We take them all back. Even though we found that they're too much. And if truth be told, we take them back because quite often we simply don't trust God to carry our cares the way we want them carried. That He will do with these cares according to His will and not ours. We want somehow to be able to manipulate this. That yes, I'll bring it to God, but I want it to go my way. And the point of the text is, do not surrender to your cares, but surrender your cares to God. Don't surrender to your burden, but give your burden to the Lord. Don't try to muscle. Don't try to escape. But bring them to Him time after time in prayer. And He will give you grace. But we find this very difficult. We know that we do this. How do we do this? We do this in prayer. But sometimes we become a bit skeptical and we wonder, and we even say, I wonder sometimes if prayer does any help. And then we need to hear this word of God, and we need to be reminded that prayer, true prayer, gives us to see by faith all the things that our fears want to hide from us, and gives us to hear all the things that our fears don't want us to hear. Our fears, our anxieties, and our burdens are vocal. They speak to you. Psalm 3, there be many who say unto me, there is no hope for him in God. Anxiety ultimately wants to say, it's hopeless. Anxiety wants to make us bitter. Anxiety has a strong voice. It is prayer that opens our ear to hear the truth, to open our eyes to see reality. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is listening to God. As you know Him and as you learn of Him in the Holy Scriptures, you listen to His response through the Scriptures. Prayer opens our eyes as we come before God, the light. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The children will remember Elisha's servant when the army of Syria had surrounded them on the mountains around Dothan in the village where they were. And the servant came out and he saw only those soldiers. And he said to Elisha, alas, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Prayer opens our eyes. By the grace of God, we see His promises. Do you remember Hezekiah? When Rabshakeh from the king of Assyria Sennacherib, came before the walls of Jerusalem and defied God and told the people, don't trust in God. And then he said, look, I'm going to write this all down because I don't see Hezekiah listening to me. And I'm going to write it down. Here's the letter. You give this to Hezekiah. This is what's going to happen to you if you do not come out to surrender. And you remember what Hezekiah did? He didn't walk back and forth before his throne. He took that letter, he went into the temple, and he spread it out. It was rolled up. He spread it out. And he said, Lord, you know what this man said. We're going to wait for you to speak. Without prayer, you only hear the voice of our anxieties. But more, prayer is not only casting our burden upon the Lord, but we need to understand that that does not mean that the circumstances of our life, which have made us so fearful, that those circumstances are going to be removed. Peter tells us that one day they will. He says to us, God will exalt you in due time. That might not be on the earth, but it will be. All your anxieties, God will bring you out of those circumstances one day in glory. But his answer to prayer does not mean that those circumstances will necessarily change in a moment or that nothing bad's going to happen, as we say, but that prayer is going to teach you the truth of your circumstances. The truth of your circumstances have a purpose. The apostle had written that in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to the praise and the honor and the glory of God at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Prayer reminds you, when you go to the throne of God, who is God, when you cast what consumes and breaks your shoulders upon God, prayer reminds you of God's work in what makes you afraid. And his work is to refine and strengthen your faith. Now, we might say to all of this, yes, Pastor, we believe from the Holy Scriptures that prayer is necessary because it brings me to see the reality of God in my life and that he is in control and he's working all things for my good. I do believe that. But I soon carry all my cares again, and I am weighed down again. And I ask, is there anything more? And God answers, yes. He cares for you. He cares for you. And that's something that I don't have any words to explain the depth of what that means. He cares for you. God's care is the eternal expression of his love and grace to you in Jesus Christ, his Son. God cares for you. Not an empty care, but a care that will sustain you and keep you. When we care for someone, That means that our hearts aren't cold to their suffering. It means we have a heartfelt concern for someone. It means that we empathize with that person. We don't laugh at them. We have compassion. When you care for someone as a boy and a girl, you're saying, I know how that feels. I know how that feels. I know how it feels to be misused, to be laughed at, to be bullied. And the scriptures say to us that we are to care, same word, we are to be anxious for one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, having the same care one for each other. As the body of Christ, we are to care for each other and show that care and express that care for each other on every level, in this grade school, at home, in the congregation, for the older, for the younger. We are to care one for each other. But that God cares for us means that He has a tender regard for me in my misery. He does not despise me. He has a concern for me in my fears and when my heart is overwhelmed in grief. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. Only His care is not like ours, in that we can't lift any burden from anybody's heart. He can, and He does. And that is in His grace. My grace is sufficient for you. He cares for you. But you can know this only when by God's grace you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Prayer, boys and girls, stands on two immovable truths. By God's grace, you must know them and believe them in your heart, or you can't pray. Those two truths are the absolute sovereignty of God. He holds me in His hand. The second is God is gracious. He has loved me for His own sake, not because of anything in myself, and therefore He cares for you. That's God's answer. He cares for you. It means that you and I must not simply cast our worries on God. We must cast ourselves on God. We must not simply cast our cares for our loved ones, our sons and daughters, on God, but we must cast our loved ones on God. We must cast our future on God, our burden on God. We are not in control. God is, and He cares for you. And the tense, again, is present. It's a present tense. He cares for you. That means it's an ongoing action. This does not stop. This does not cease. This does not know a period of rest. This does not slow down. It does not let up. Underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Don't carry your fears and anxieties, your woes, but cast them into the arm of God. He will never stop caring for you. We must do this because it's God's command. God has commanded us to do this. We must do this because we can't bear them. We must do this because only through prayer will we learn all the things that our fears are hiding from us. We must do this each day. We must do this through faith, the gift of God. Each day, when my heart is overwhelmed, we must be led to that rock that is higher than ourselves. We must cast it in faith into his arms. God said, Jeremiah 32, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knewest not. Hear the word of God. Don't try to escape your darkness in your own strength. Come to God as a little child. Plead his promises. Cast it on God. He cares for you. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to fall. Amen. Heavenly Father, in thy house very often we do not learn new things, but we are reminded of the truth that we already know. We are to pray. Thou knowest our tendency is to do all kinds of things first and even forget. How foolish we are. Work in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we may obey and do by thy grace this word of God, and that we may do it constantly, moment by moment, at special times in a devout prayer, but always, that we may cast our burden upon the Lord, knowing that you will sustain us and that we shall never fall. In Jesus' name, amen.